Welcome to the Camp Constitution Report with your host, Hal Shurtleff. This show was brought to you by Camp Constitution, which, among other things, runs a week-long family camp, and our camp is coming up in just a little bit more than a month, and we're almost full, but we have some room available. And to learn more about our camp and our weekend retreats and all the other activities we do, our speaking engagements, our Sam Blumenfeld Archives YouTube channel, visit our website, campconstitution.net. And please subscribe to catchingfire.news and share these interviews that we do. We have a great lineup of hosts, and there's a lot of good material here that I think could be used to help in the freedom fight. So, about last month, I think it was earlier this month, I was at an event in Massachusetts. It's an event that comes up every second Friday, and I've been a presenter at these events over the years. And I got a chance to meet a lot of wonderful people. That's what I like about the networking and meeting new people at these events. And one of them was a young lady running for the U.S. Senate. State Senate in Massachusetts. She's from central Massachusetts. And what made it more interesting to me is that she told us that 2 years ago, she was a Biden supporter and she'd been totally red pilled. Of course, red pill is the term from the movie Matrix. When you take the red pill, you see reality. So her name is Lisa Mayer. Lisa, how are you doing?
Hi, good. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, I'm glad to have you on. I have to really admire you in many respects. First, changing your worldview. That's not an easy thing to do. And then you're going to decide to run for office, and of all places, Massachusetts, and not just a local state, a local office, but a statewide office. I think there's 20 state senators from 40, right? And they have, 140 state reps and 40 state senators. Is that correct?
I think it's 160.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I've been gone for 2 years. So I kind of forget. But here in New Hampshire, we have 400 state reps and only 24 senators. And just last week, I was asked by three state reps and one senator and two of their wives to run for county commissioner. And I said, if you think I should do it, I'll do it. So I'm declared my candidacy for the first time. I've helped people run for office, but I've never run myself. And I do want an invitation when you take your oath of office. So please make sure after you win your election, you invite me to your, not really inaugural, but the swearing in ceremony. So anyway, tell the viewers a little bit about your background.
Okay, so before this, I was working mainly in health and wellness. I have a master's degree in nutrition and food science, and I specialize in a functional medicine approach with my clients in their nutrition work. And so I was just happy plugging away behind the scenes, changing lives, making people healthier and happier, mm-hmm. Going along, trusting that the government was working for us and doing the right thing. And it was a very nice place to be and a nice way of looking at the world. And then 2020 hit and everything seemed to go crazy. So that's when, I started opening my eyes and changing what I intend to do with the next few years of my life.
Now, somebody in your profession, you may have some red flags might have went up right away when you're listening to the CDC and the WHO. I don't remember Fauci ever saying, build up your immune system, take vitamins, basically wear a mask, lock down. And then, of course, when the vaccine was available, get a vaccine and then get a booster and get another booster. And by the way, still wear your mask and maybe a shield and maybe gloves and so forth and so on. So there must have been that. So what was it? Now, you said that you were a lady. You probably weren't a hard leftist, probably Jane Fonda type, but you were liberal. Did you vote? Were you a member of the Democrat Party?
Well, I was. Well, OK, I don't want this to scare anybody, but I was an independent for my whole life. And then when Bernie Sanders came on the scene, I actually thought that he was incredibly authentic. I thought he was for the people. I loved that he got a lot of small donations. He wasn't supported by huge businesses, at least as far as I understood. So I actually did register as a Democrat at that time so that I could vote for him in the primary. you know, and then I started to realize how corrupt the Democratic Party is based on what happened with him. But now I'm realizing, you know, that he was a little bit too far left, and maybe I shouldn't have supported him. But I was a Democrat for a few years there, and now I'm an independent again.
Yeah, interesting. Ron Paul, the congressman, Rand Paul's father, Ron Paul submitted a bill to audit the Federal Reserve Bank. And back in 08 or so, when he ran in 08 and 12, they were in the Fed rallies. And Bernie Sanders at that time was a U.S. senator. I know he was a member of the House of Representatives from Vermont. There's only one member of the House from Vermont. And he ended up co-signing the bill. But then when the bill got into the Senate, he totally changed it. In other words, he's supposed to be against the bankers. He's always, you know, the downtrodden masses that he supports, which you know, is actually baloney. And he showed his true colors. In fact, he used to be, he was very popular in Vermont, which hard, it's hard to believe. I used to man this table at the Tunbridge Fair in Vermont, and Bernie had a table like four or five tables for mine. And he only show up for like 10 minutes and leave, just for one day and leave. So I had a copy of the Communist Manifesto. I said, oh, I'm going to have Bernie sign it. You know, he was making the round. And by the time he got close to our table, I got busy. I didn't have a chance to say, hey, Bernie, can you sign my book here? He probably would have. I think I'd love to carry that around. I have a video of him, and he and his wife are honeymooning in the Soviet Union. That's when American communists used to like Russian communists. They don't like Russian communists anymore, but they had no trouble years ago. And he and his wife are drunk, his KGB handlers are all singing "This Land Is My Land." I'm thinking, oh my goodness. But anyway, he managed to get elected, and he did. You know, I told people that if it was between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, if someone put a gun to me and said, "Okay, you got to vote for one of these two," I said, "I'll vote for Bernie, easy enough." And I know that a lot of people thought he was sincere and true blue. But then, you know, in fact, he was very much against gun control. And in Vermont, you have to be, for the most part. And of course, I said, as soon as he gets a chance, he will take the guns away if he could. So I'm glad that that you realize he wasn't the one for. Now, what other things that kind of led you to have to turn away from a woman of the left? Any other things besides the COVID?
Yeah, well, so it actually, so COVID was the major thing, like everything that went wrong during COVID, but there were some glimmerings before that. So initially, I mean, and this is in no particular order, I don't think, but the headlines about Trump that were being shared on social media, they would be incredibly inflammatory. And then I would go, oh yeah, you know, like a good liberal. And then I'd click on it to read the article. And often the content of the article didn't match the inflammatory headline. There was like nothing there. And I think that they did that on purpose just to keep all the liberals frothing at the mouth and angry and all riled up and hating Trump, you know, just to ensure the victory of the Democrats. So that was one of the first things. I was like, you know, even at that time when I was like pretty critical of Trump, I'm like, wait, what's going on here? And so I started to see that the media wasn't really reporting accurately and the truth. And then another thing that was really big for me was when the Democrats started calling for defunding the police. I was like, we need our police. Why do we want to defund them? If there's a problem, you know, maybe we could do some reform, have some checks and balances, or have some training or something like that. But instead, they called for defunding the police. And I thought that was insane, actually. And so I never, you know, never agreed with that. And then, you know, the whole thing about the borders, like how open the borders are, at the time, I was like, okay, do we really need a wall? I kind of thought it was excessive. But now we're seeing what happens when we just let this unrestricted entrance into the country without the checks, you know, without vetting everybody. And I do think that it's making Americans less safe, because it could be terrorists, you know, it could be drugs, it could be child trafficking, and we just don't know. So because everybody's just coming in, you know, and then on top of that, you know, we're giving them, you know, financial support, phones, you know, flights and driver's licenses in Massachusetts now, while at the same time, our veterans are like homeless and, you know, in poverty, and they fought for our country, and we owe them, you know, to support them. And we're giving illegal aliens all of this, but not the veterans. So it just doesn't make sense to me at all. You know, if there's all this money, we should be supporting the veterans at least, right?
In lieu of giving illegal aliens food stamps and cell phones and free medical, free dental, free whatever. It's interesting, right? Too. If you go on YouTube and just put down, say, for example, Chuck Schumer speaks out against illegal immigration. This is 15 or 20 years ago. Bill Clinton, he gave a State of the Union address. I don't know what year it was, 97, 98. And he's calling for secure borders. And all the Democrats are applauding him. Maybe one or two aren't. And it used to be at one point, Democrats, I lived in Boston most all my life, with the exception of my time in the military. And I remember Democrats really believed in America first. I mean, jobs for Americans. We don't give communist China most favored nation trading status. And, you know, a lot of the, I call them the Rockefeller Republicans. Today they're called RINOs, Republicans in name only. They always seem to support, you look at George W. Bush and George H.W., too, the prototypical Eastern establishment Republicans. And this is what you see with Liz Cheney. Her father was your typical member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And they loved wars. No win wars, of course. We don't care if we ever win the war, but as long as we're in wars, so we can say we're building democracy and nation building. And I know some people on the left, like, I know Bernie wasn't in favor of some of these things too. And so there is some common ground, but when it comes to sovereignty, and I understand that Bernie visited Mount Rushmore while he was running for president. And he said he's proud to be, and after looking at this beautiful work of art, now they want to tear it down. You know, now these same people that were in favor of sovereignty and secure borders, now they want open borders. Now they hate our history. You know, they think America's evil, that it's racist. So the Democrat, I have people that tell me people didn't leave the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party left them. Exactly. You know, they were at a certain position. They felt a certain way. And we've always had problems. Every nation, every great nation has its stains. I mean, just look at the list of nations and tell me what nation didn't have issues. Germany, they had a few issues here and there, you know, like genocide and, you know, war and what have you. What about France? They had slavery. Then you look at countries like England, most of us are from, a lot of us are from English stock and, you know, we're an English colony, but they had a lot of issues too over the years. But we don't hate England because of their past history. And in fact, you look at a lot of it's good stuff. You know, even while there was bad things going on, there was a lot of great things going on. And but today, I guess if you they want to burn it down, isn't that what Shalib, what was her name? Talib, one of the members of the squad. She said, "Burn the blankety blank down." Oh yes. And well, you want to burn it down? You came from a failed nation. You came here. You were welcomed here. You were, and now you want to destroy it. You know, so it's hard. Do most Democrats actually believe this stuff? I hate to think that they do.
You know, not the people that I hang out with. So like you said, it does seem like it's the party that left us. And there's a lot of us. So for the conservatives watching this, there are a lot of Democrats. I've engaged with them on social media. Like, I don't know all of them, but there's a lot of us. And I'm hoping it's enough to make a difference. I really am.
Well, have you read since you had your, what kind of books, or have any books influenced you, any authors, any people that you might watch on social media? I know Joe Rogan, they use the term Rogan Republican, you know. I'm an old school, what they call a paleo conservative Christian. Rogan may not be my, and my son's an old, you know, he's like me in many respects as far as political views, but he likes Rogan. Even though Rogan has a dirty mouth and I don't agree with everything he stands for. So what people influenced you, and what, any writers, any books influenced you at all?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I used to make fun of Fox News, right? When I was a good liberal. And now I actually do watch it and I listen to it in my car. I listened to Tucker Carlson, and I feel like they were the only ones that were reporting somewhat accurately, you know, all of the COVID related stuff anyway, you know, and so it just made me really respect them a lot more and really question the liberal media that I had been listening to. So, yeah, so I've just been listening to more conservative shows. I do like Joe Rogan a lot. I think he's funny. You know, I think he is just honest. You know, he's a straight shooter. So I do listen to him. Sometimes I listen to Breaking Points. They seem to be pretty balanced. But my constitution.
All right. Well, yes. But when I met you, I asked you if you had a state constitution, and you said, no, I don't. Of course, you have a U.S. You probably have. I sent a U.S. constitution there as well. And what surprises me is that if you're going to run, when you run for a state office, you have to take an oath to that state constitution as well as the U.S. constitution. A member of Congress doesn't have to. President doesn't have to take an oath to 50 constitutions. You just take an oath to the U.S. constitution. But if you're a state office holder, you have two constitutions you got to be concerned about. And it's amazing. So many people don't even know some cases that state constitutions exist. And of course, when you look at the U.S. constitution, there are two amendments, the 9th and 10th amendments. And basically they say that the powers not delegated to Congress or denied to the states are retained by the people. And I think the 9th one says that the fact that we listed the enumeration of certain rights that are not mean to construe that this is all you have. In other words, we made some rights, but there are many other rights that we didn't list, and those rights are reserved to the states. So a government doesn't really have a right; it has a power, and state governments have power, but people have rights, and so there are certain things at the federal level that are the job. And you look at Article 1, it deals with the duties of members of the House and House of Representatives and Congress. So Article 2 deals with the executive branch, Article 3, the Supreme Court. And James Madison in Federalist Paper, I think it was 10, he said that the powers are limited, I'm paraphrasing, but the powers delegated to the central government are limited. The powers and freedoms are to the states are undefined and unlimited. And so the bottom line is that a member of Congress has a job description. You have, this is what you do. No more. That's it. You have certain things. You have about, oh, I don't know, about 28 or 30 duties and powers, including the, you know, you can raise taxes, you can declare war, you make laws, and the Senate impeaches, Senate deals with treaties. The president has even fewer. He only has about 10 or 12. The president isn't the most powerful man in the free world, as you hear that. That's not in the job description. And I think yesterday or today, Biden sent all kinds of executive orders advancing the LGBTQABCDFG community. Well, that's not his power. That's not his duty. You know, he's supposed to uphold the laws. That's it. It's not that difficult a job. He's supposed to negotiate treaties, uphold the laws. And we've had presidents that, of course, and both parties are responsible for this this encroachment of powers that the Congress is doing. Now, what made you decide to run for the U.S.? I'm sorry, here we go. I said U.S. Senate. I mean the state Senate.
Yeah. So I have been involved with the medical freedom community, you know, since everything started going crazy with COVID. And one of the mantras is we have to vote them out, you know, the ones who are infringing on our constitutional rights and doing this great harm, and run against them. And I think that they said it enough. And I just thought, you know what, if not me, then who? If not now, then when? I care deeply about this. I have this huge renewed sense of patriotism. I feel like the country is just sliding down into, you know, communism and more control. And this is a beautiful country. And I love Massachusetts. I grew up here. You know, I went to school here. And I just want to jump in there as somebody, you know, one of the people for the people, and try to help, you know, right this ship. You know, I think that I might be in a unique position because I did consider myself a liberal for most of my life, but now I have such incredible respect for the conservative point of view and their approaches. They seem a lot saner. And so I just think that I might be able to make a difference, kind of bridging and bringing in that more of the conservative voices and opinions and approaches. So I thought, you know what, why not? And I'm going to try my hardest to get in there. And I hope that there's enough disenfranchised Democrats, enough independents who are a little bit concerned about what's going on, and enough Republicans and conservatives who are like, we'll take anybody but another Democrat.
Do you have anyone running against you in the primary?
No. It's so, just me. There's not even a Republican running for this seat.
So that saves you a lot of trouble right now. I just learned that after I declared my candidacy, a person who had switched parties from Democrat to Republican was going to run for county clerk is now running against me. And the thought is, if that we win the primary, we'll most likely win the seat, because the Democrats are just so poorly. What can you tell us about the incumbent? Who's the incumbent that you're running?
It's Harriet Chandler, and she's stepping down. So the two Democrats that are running are the mayor of Worcester, Joe Petty, and Robin Kennedy. And I don't know if she's a Kennedy, but Robin Kennedy is.
Harriet Chandler was a Republican, right?
No.
Okay. I'm getting her confused. There was a real solid Republican there for years. I mean, there are only, four or five Republicans right now in the Senate, in the state Senate. I think so. 30 in the state in the House. And I'm not too terribly impressed with most of the House Republicans as well. But hopefully there'll be a big switch. You know, you heard what happened in San Francisco.
Yeah. Was it the district attorney that was recalled?
They had a recall. Yeah. Chez Boudin, whose parents were weathermen terrorists, and they got away on a technicality. And and that was a 60-40 vote. That was 60-40 is a landslide. Yeah. And you think San Francisco. And I've been there a couple of, it was a beautiful city. I was there, I think the last time, maybe 2012. And while the politics, I never liked the politics of the city, it was a relatively safe place and it was just beautiful. I mean, I traveled throughout the whole Chinatown and just even the poor neighborhoods were nice looking, you know. Nobody thought about homeless people and people shooting up and passing out right in the streets and all that. And what happens is if you don't uphold the law, and Boudin is just an anti, he may not be a formal member of the Communist Party. He's been cheating them out of their dues all these years. And also while the lockdown was going on, the school committee would meet in private, I guess on Zoom or whatever, but they would vote. They voted to change the name of a school that was named after Abraham Lincoln to someone else. And there was a lot of outrage. In fact, there was this one guy, he called himself Gay Abraham Lincoln. And they ended up, I think they were able to recall all of the as many as I could, three or four school committee members. They said, this is not what we pay you to do, you know. Right. And so even in San Francisco, and then there was a special election a few days ago in Texas. And for the first time, I think since the 1930s, that this particular Democrat, longtime Democrat seat was, it was a Hispanic woman, Mexican, American citizen, but a woman of Mexican descent won, and she won by a pretty comfortable margin. But now she has to, I think her seat will expire, her office expires in January, so she'll have to run again, but she probably has a good chance of retaining that seat. So there's a lot of promising things, and it's really great because what you see people like yourself stepping up to the plate. People like Musk, you know, whoever expected someone like Musk? I always thought he was a left-wing greenie. And now he comes out, he's a guy, he wants free speech. The Babylon Bee has him, an exclusive interview. And he says, yeah, I don't know if I like Trump, but I'll give him a platform. I'll let him have get back onto Twitter when I buy it. And he says he likes Florida's mayor more so than Trump. I said, well, that guy must be pretty conservative if he wants to go for Florida's governor, DeSantis, as opposed to Trump. So you're a medical freedom person, obviously. You're against the vaccine mandates. So what is your what type of things are you focusing on in your campaign?
Well, I would like to support bodily autonomy. as one of my top priorities, because there are a lot of bills that are trying to remove religious exemptions for vaccines here in Massachusetts. You know, and just all of the people that were forced to get the shot or get fired, I think that needs to change. People need to be hired back. Nobody should be forced to take a novel gene therapy that has no long-term safety data. I can't even believe that this is up for debate. It's a complete violation of the Nuremberg Code and every single code of medical ethics. So that's something I would like to focus on. I'd also like to just help us recover from all the damage that was done, you know, with small businesses, with physical, sorry, my cat, with physical and mental health, due specifically to the lockdowns. Like you said, Fauci and those guys, they never talked about ways to help not have a severe outcome from COVID. You know, like they never talked about losing weight or vitamin D, you know, all zinc, all of these things that help your immune system, just reducing inflammation. I'd like to bring all of that out in some way. I don't know, you know, all of the, you know, what I can do as a senator, but I would like to have there be some kind of public health that brings more of the real way to stay healthy instead of the pharmaceutical way to stay healthy. And then with the mental health, you know, we really did our kids a disservice with all the lockdowns and everything, the suicidal ideation, you know, they're depressed, they're, you know, using more substances, and there's more emergencies. Like I just went to a meeting here in my town in Berlin, and the police were talking about that like they can't, there's nowhere to send people to that are having these issues. And so I would like to help them make that better, you know, so that there are places for people in need to go who are having, you know, severe problems and aren't safe, you know, to be on their own, you know, efficiently and just right away and have enough locations for them to go. So that, and I would like to do whatever I can to help the small businesses get back on track. I'm a small business owner. My husband and I have owned several small businesses, and we really do understand, you know, the problems facing small businesses. And I just think it's a crime how many small businesses went out of business, like they just permanently disappeared because of the lockdowns. And that was another thing that made no sense. Like, why can the big box stores stay open, but not the small businesses? Right? Like, why was that a rule?
Yeah, it was amazing when they kept open, like I say, the Home Depots and the BJ's and these other places, but the small businesses, as well as the churches in synagogues, they were closed. There was a spoof about having in Home Depot, you know, Catholic mass would be served in aisle 8, you know, Protestant services in aisle 7, you know, and of course, the abortion mill in the bar rooms. I'm glad they didn't close the liquor stores. I like to get some wine here and there, you know. But the bottom line is that they shouldn't have locked anything down. Right. If you had immune, and again, you don't have to be a trained medical expert to know that if you have some pre-existing conditions, sure, take extra precautions. But locking down healthy people—that's the communist Chinese model, and we adopted that. The whole world adopted it, with the exception of Sweden. And I find it fascinating that, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the left is always looking at Europe. Oh, Western Europe does this. We should do that. Well, Sweden didn't lock down. So why don't we take the Swedish? And they didn't seem to have any more problems. I think it was about the same, maybe even less than the rest of the world. So all these lockdowns, billions of dollars lost. And in this country, you know, health issues, suicide rates are up, alcohol, drug abuse, spousal abuse. But in third world countries, there was starvation.
Yeah, right.
Because of the lockdown. And we don't hear about that. So if you look at all of the negative externalities, and I believe, and maybe you can reinforce this, that I believe they knew the externalities. They knew the collateral damage that this would do. I have to say, these people have nothing else better to do than to study everything. So they must have known.
They did know, and that's why they didn't ever recommend lockdowns before this, but it was like all of a sudden everything pivoted. Like even previously, they didn't recommend masks. They're like, you know, maybe it'll catch a droplet or two, but aerosols are coming out the edges, you know, like a superhighway. And so they changed everything, and it's very concerning that they can just do that, you know, and then not only that, but then stifle the debate about it. like have the censorship.
That's right.
Yeah. And so we had all these infringements on our constitutional rights, like just because of COVID, and they managed to scare enough people to accept that. So I would like to be able to speak about that, you know, from a larger platform and prevent that from ever happening again.
I wish you all the best, and anywhere I can help you, if you get me on your email list and I will forward the emails, I have a good, and by the way, our organization, we don't endorse candidates, but I can support candidates as an individual. And where can the viewers learn more about your campaign? If they want to help contribute, what can they do?
So my website is Lisa. Oh, it's right there. Lisa for MA Senate. Yep, that's it. So come visit me there. My social media links are there. There's a donate button right there too. So I would really appreciate your support because, as you know, probably independents don't really get a ton of funding. And so this is all just small donations that I'm going on. And it really, every dollar really makes a difference for me to get the word out.
So, all right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being a guest. And we'll stay in touch. You've been listening to the Camp Constitution Report with your host, Hal Shurtleff. And until next week, may God richly bless you.
Thank you.